Good morning. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. Everybody seems to be in a good mood, in a good spirit, enjoying each other's company. That's a great thing to see. It's good knowing that when we come here, we're coming to, by and large, a very happy place. And there is a reason for that. There's a reason we love each other so much. Is because we are united in the Lord, and we are all grateful for all that He has done for us. As we begin our service, I want to read a favorite passage of Scripture that acknowledges just how great He is, what He's done for us, and the change that He has produced in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's worship.
Good morning. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
number 548, if you're using a hymnal, 548. For our prayer, we'll sing Where He Leads, I'll Follow, number 417. We're using the hymnbook number 417.
Thank you.
Let's join in prayer. Lord, we come to praise you as the one and only God, creator of all that is, and the one who has showered your blessings on us so bountifully. We praise you for all your godly attributes, Lord. You are great and perfect in every way, Lord. But we are weak creatures. You are holy, but we too often sin. And we come asking that you forgive us our transgressions against you, Father. Lord, thank you for all your blessings, much too many to count. So many blessings, Lord, day by day, that just keep coming. We thank you. We ask that you be with all who are now hurting, those suffering from health ailments, from loneliness, from emotional trials, for all those who have lost loved ones. Strengthen us for whatever trials lie ahead of us. Please, Lord, help us to remain faithful to you always. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Now, this is a hymn we haven't sung before. This one will just be on the overhead, the hymn of heaven. Sopranos, it can be a little low and a little high. Altos is probably going to be okay. Bass, it's really low. And tenors, you're gonna have to be pretty high too. So let's all stand for this one. No problem, right? No problem.
Oh.
you're using a hymnal, you can mark number 616 is our song of encouragement this morning, number 616.
As a reminder, it is now time for those children participating in children's training class to assemble there. This morning's scripture is from Hosea chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. It's Hosea chapter 13, beginning with verse 4. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. But I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Savior. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had grazed, they became full. They were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Therefore, they forgot me.
There will be a day. Well, I love that song. We're going to have to work on that and really get that ingrained in our minds, because it points us to a time in the future when we will be in heaven. We will sing with the myriads of angels and all of the redeemed, and what a day that's going to be. It's great. And that's why we sing songs like that, and that's why we remind ourselves of the promises of God in Scripture, to build those fires, to keep us warm during cold times, and keep us motivated, stay on track, because we're on the right path if we're following Jesus. And so what a great way to begin our worship today. And we're so glad that you are here with us today. We've got a good number, and we are thankful that you've come our way. We've got visitors with us. I've met a couple that I'd not ever met before, and really are happy that you are with us today. And if we can help you and any others that I didn't meet, if we can be of help in any way, please let us know what we can do. And we'll do everything we can. Come be with us anytime you can as well. But all of our regulars, we're really glad to see you as well. It encourages us to get together like this, and so we're very thankful that you're here today. All of you online that are joining us as well, very glad that you are here with us as well. Regularly, we find out about people in various places around our country, occasionally in other parts of the world, that are worshiping with us, and we're very thankful for that as well. But it's good to be together. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about Jesus and the helpless man. This is a miracle that you can read about in John chapter 5. We will study that together, and it is a very interesting account. It is a very powerful lesson, and I really hope you can come back and join us at 6 o'clock at that time. Lots of other things going on, of course. The sign language class meeting again today at 4:45 downstairs. And lots of other opportunities. If you're interested in getting involved, there's a lot that you can do. And so we're just glad to be called by the Lord to do what we can to help other people. But I hope you got your Bible with you. If you do, let's get into it now. Open your copy, whether it is printed or electronic, and let's get into the Word and learn things that God has given us that will be just so good, so helpful for us. Now first, we'll remind ourselves about a song we often hear and often sing, but not in church. And it is the Star-Spangled Banner. You probably know the history of that. It was written in 1814 by a fellow named Francis Scott Key. He was a prisoner, in fact, aboard a British ship, and the Fort McHenry just outside of Baltimore was being bombarded by the British. And so there was a lot of anxiety. What's going to happen? Is the fort going to fall? Is the cause of freedom in the colonies now, the United States, is it going to suffer? And so as the light dawned, he could see the flag was still there. And we sing that regularly. We hear it sung regularly. Why? Is it because of the battle? I mean, what do you know about the Battle of Fort McHenry? I don't know much more than what I just told you, but it's more than that. It's the idea that there is a country that we love. It is the idea that there are those who have given their lives and sacrificed themselves so that we might live in a country like this. And it's the idea that that flag represents our hopes and our desires, and we're going to be loyal to it as much as we can be according to God's will. And so that's why we have the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, our national anthem. And I suppose most countries have something like that. I know Canada does, Britain does. It's a way of, you know, rallying us, reminding us where we're from, what we're doing, and why it's important to keep things going. Did you know that Israel had a national anthem? It's true that in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to go there in just a little bit, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, God tells Moses, write this song and teach it to the people of Israel and have them sing it throughout their generations, and it will be a witness to them. It will be a reminder to them, and it will also be a witness. If they ever leave the covenant that I've given them, they will know they have transgressed away. And Deuteronomy 32, which we sometimes call the Song of Moses, in fact, there's at least two others that Moses wrote or sang right after crossing the Red Sea. He led Israel in a song. Psalm 90 is attributed to him as well. But Deuteronomy 32 is a very special song of Moses. And inside that song, there is an image, one that we find maybe a little amusing when we first hear it. I mean, Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. Does that not make you smile when you hear it? I mean, somebody's getting fat, and what are they doing kicking? What's this all about? But I assure you, there is a lesson there for us, a needed lesson, even as far removed in time as we are from that song. It is a principle that we need to be aware of and make sure it doesn't happen with us. So let's look at that idea of Jeshurun growing fat and kicking. First of all, going to Deuteronomy now, we're going to talk about that song. But before we get into the song itself, let's look at the background for it. And that's in chapter 31, Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. Now, Moses is nearing the end of his life. He knows his time has come. God will shortly after this lead him up to the top of the mountain, and there he will die, and God himself will bury Moses. What an amazing thought. But here, God says, before you go, you need to do this. So let's look at Deuteronomy 31, verses 19 and 20. Now, therefore, write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant. So God says, I know what's going to happen. I know that these people, even though they're going to be given the best of everything, they're going to prosper and they're going to forget. And so that's the reason he said, write this song. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, commentators from a pretty long while ago, made this observation about this song. National songs take deep hold of the memories and have a powerful influence in stirring the deepest feelings of a people. In accordance with this principle in human nature, a song was ordered to be composed by Moses, doubtless under divine inspiration, which was to be learned by the Israelites themselves and to be taught to their children in every age. And so, as they're saying, what we have in essence is a national anthem. It was to remind them about God's place in their history, the God, the only true and living God, and to warn them against ever turning away from him to go after idols. And so this song that we find in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy is 43 verses long. It has a lot to say. We're not going to look at much of it today, but that one section, that's the one that captures our attention now. And so let's turn to Deuteronomy 32, and we're first of all going to look at verses 10 through 14 for the background. Here's what he says just prior to what we're really going to concentrate on. Let's actually begin in verse 9. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. He found him, that is, God found Jacob in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And most of us know that image. It is an image of endearment. Sometimes we wonder, well, what is an apple of the eye? It may simply mean the pupil of our eye, which has a little bit of an apple shape to it, and we're very careful to protect it. You know, if something is coming against me, I'm going to guard my eyes first and foremost. Or it may simply mean, this is something I really care about, and I'm going to care for them, I'm going to protect them. That's what God is saying in this image. Look again now at Deuteronomy 32. He said he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now verse 11. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land. He ate the produce of the field, and he suckled him with honey out of the rock, oil out of the flinty rock, curds from the herd and milk from the flock, with fat of lambs, rams of Bashan, and goats, with the very finest of the wheat. And you drank foaming wine made from the blood of the grape. Now, what is all that saying? It's saying that God loves Israel. God says, I care about you. I found you. I brought you out of bondage. I protected you. I cared for you. I fed you with the finest of foods. And now what? How are you going to respond to that? And that's where we come now to verses 15 through 18 and the image that we're going to be talking about more. Verses 15 through 18. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. Of course they did, because God had fed them so well. And this doesn't necessarily mean obese. It means that they are well-fed. They lack for nothing. They're doing well. So Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. Now remember, these are words they're going to be singing. If they do what God says, they're going to be singing this song, and they'll be reminding ourselves, could we really do that? God, who took such good care of us, could we really turn against him and forget him? And that's why God said, teach them this song, put it in their mouth, let them know this is a real possibility. Daniel Block, first of all, again, from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, they write the metaphor here used. And what we're looking at now is that metaphor in verse 15, Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. And they say the metaphor here used is derived from a pampered animal, which instead of being tame and gentle, becomes mischievous and vicious, in consequence of good living and kind treatment. And that's an agricultural image, probably, mostly. But any of you that have dogs or cats, and I suspect there's a good number here this morning that fall into that category, I mean, how much money do you spend on these animals? Let's not even get into that. But there's a good amount of money you spend on them. And now imagine that the dog is always snapping at you, biting you, I mean, drawing blood now and then. The cat is scratching you. Well, cats never respond when you call them, do they? But that's the idea. You do so much for them. What are they doing for you? And yet this is applied to people. I provided all of this for them. I did so much good for them. And look, what are they doing? They're kicking against me. And they have forgotten. Daniel I. Block, in his commentary on this passage, says the name. And you may have wondered, Jeshurun? Maybe you've not ever heard that name before. And it's only found a few times in the Bible. But what is that? Jeshurun. And Block says the name is related to the Hebrew word yasar, which means straight or upright, as some will translate it. The description of Jeshurun that follows suggests the name is used ironically. Oh, you are upright. You are straight. No, you're not. You should be, but you're not. The straight one on whom Yahweh had lavished his affection has acted perversely through abominable acts of devotion to other gods. And so the idea is, Jeshurun, you're the one that I found in the wilderness. I provided everything. I protected you. I've given you so lavishly. And now you don't even know me. And thus to be sung generation after generation. Now, if you read further in this passage, which we're not going to do today, you're going to find that God is not pleased. And bad consequences are going to come to Israel when this time comes that they turn away from God and go to other gods. And so the warning is there. They will sing it over and over again and be reminded, we must not ever turn away from God. And yet they will. That was in Israel's future. Now, before we finished in Deuteronomy 32, let's look at verses 44 through 47. Deuteronomy 32, verses 44 through 47. And people may have said, well, wait a minute. We don't really like this song. You know, why do we have to learn it? Why do we have to sing it? Here's what is said toward the end in that chapter. Moses came and recited all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua, the son of Nun. And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. It is your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. So he concludes this by saying, pay attention. That's what Moses says to Israel. Pay attention. This song is for your benefit. Why? It reminds us that our life is found in the law of God. And as long as we keep the law of God, it will go well for us. But if we ever forsake it and turn instead to other gods, it will not be so good. Now, maybe you're already wondering, why is Tim talking about Jeshurun and Israel that happened so long ago? What's this got to do with us? Well, it has a lot to do with us, because there are reminders in this image, not the whole song, although that's part of it as well. There are reminders in this image for us, and there are two in particular I want us to talk about. But first of all, let me just note this idea of forgetting God in times of prosperity. This is not the only time you find it in the Bible. It's found fairly often. For example, Hosea chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, which Jim read to us earlier. Listen again to what it says there in Hosea chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It was I who knew you in the wilderness. God is speaking to the people of Israel through the prophet. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had grazed, they became full, they were filled, and their heart was lifted up, therefore they forgot me. And so there again, Hosea is saying the same thing Moses had said a long time before that. It's going to happen. When you prosper, you're going to get full, and you're going to forget God. It's a human tendency. And thus, it's not just something in the Old Testament long ago. I propose it's the same way with us today. When we reach a point where things are going well, we have everything we need, we kind of get distracted. We don't recognize our need for God like we once did. And it's very possible we will forget. So coming from this image of Jeshurun and grew fat and kicked, here are two principles that stand out to me that apply to Christians just as they did to ancient Israel. Number one, in that image we see this: God's desire is to richly bless his people. God wants to bless us. I mean, how was it that Jeshurun grew fat? Well, we read it, didn't we, in the verses that preceded the image. God said, I found you, I protected you, I provided for you. Everything you needed was right there. And so that's what God is saying. I want to bless you. I did bless you. And that's still the case. Let's remind ourselves of that, because we're talking about God who is so good to us. I mean, he's not like, you know, I'm not going to give you anything. You know, you do well, and then I'll bless you. No, God wants to bless us. For example, look with me at Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. And here we find Jesus, and this is kind of a Luke's recording of the Sermon on the Mount, or things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And Luke says this in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this rather, in Luke 12 verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sometimes we wonder, does God really want to give me anything? I mean, I pray and I don't seem to get what I'm asking for. Does God really care about me? And Jesus said, don't be afraid. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It brings to mind that incident where King Herod was being entertained on his birthday by his wife's daughter, and she pleased him greatly, and he said, tell me, whatever you want, up to half my kingdom. I mean, that was generous, wasn't it? And he may have done it if she had asked for half the kingdom. But God already outdoes that. God says, I'll give you the kingdom. I want to bless you. Whatever you need, I have what you need, and I will bless you with that. And that's God's desire, is to bless us. Think about another statement, this one found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Here, Paul is writing to Timothy and giving admonitions. This particular section is about how we view the world and the things in this world. And he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, and you know, I think it's talking to all of us. I mean, you may compare yourself to others and say, I'm not rich, but let's think about how people in other lands are living. People that don't have homes, people that don't have food to eat, or all of the things that we take for granted. And he says there, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Put their hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Did you hear that? That's God's nature. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now, you may be thinking, well, I don't have everything. No. But he's giving you everything you need. He's giving you so much more than you need. I can say that. I have more than I absolutely need. And he gives that to us to enjoy it. That's the nature of our God. And then one other. Let's think about that famous, the most famous psalm of all, Psalm 23. And you remember how it begins. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. For a sheep, that's heaven. That's what I want. I want green pastures. And he leads me beside the still waters. But then go on down to verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 23. And remember what he says there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. God doesn't just give us a drib and a drab. He gives us overflowing blessings. And then he says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, how much clearer could it be? God, who wants to be our shepherd, will bless us abundantly. And when we think about that image about Jeshurun growing fat, that's what it means for us, is that we prosper with God. And again, don't think of prosper according to Wall Street Journal or, you know, people you might see on television. Think of it as the things I need in this life. God, his desire is to bless us richly. But then also in that image, there is this principle that we need to be reminded of as well. Not only does God desire to bless us richly, he has expectations of us. And his expectation, bottom line, is that his people should honor him. God's expectation is that these whom he has blessed so richly, they should honor him. Makes sense, doesn't it? Jeshurun didn't do that. Instead, he kicked and forgot about God. How about us? Where are we? In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, you find another image very similar to this. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the very beginning of Isaiah's prophecy. Here he writes this, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. They have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And there again, using an agricultural image, he says even farm animals know when it's time to eat and when the farmer's coming to provide the food for them. But what about us? Who has been feeding us all of our lives? Who has been protecting us all of our lives? It's God. Are we going to rebel against him, forget him, and kick against him? In Luke chapter 17, we find another very familiar incident in the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 17, you remember there were these lepers that Jesus encountered on his journey on one occasion. There were 10 of them, in fact, and lepers in that time, they were without hope. It was a disease. If we're talking about Hansen's disease, it was one that had no cure. And they were isolated. They were thrown out of the city. You can't be around other people with that disease. And so here were men that were living together, homeless, doing whatever they had to do to get food to eat. And so they see Jesus. They've heard about Jesus, obviously. And they cry out for him to heal them. And Jesus does. He says, go, show yourself to the high priest. And as they were going, their flesh became as clean as a newborn babe. They were healed of their leprosy as they left Jesus to go present themselves. And yet, one of them, only one of them, came back to praise God for what he had done through Jesus. And here's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verses 17 and 18. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" For he was, it tells us, a Samaritan. And do you hear what Jesus is saying? Where are the 9? Is Jesus in the numbers game? In a sense, he is. I mean, if it's just one sheep that's gone astray, he'll leave the 99 and go looking for the one. But this is a different situation. Here are 10 men that have been cleansed of a dreaded disease, and only one comes back to give thanks. And Jesus says, they should have come back. Were they not healed of a deadly disease? Do they not care what God has done for them? And if we apply that to ourselves, we have to ask, am I coming back to the Lord to give him thanks and praise? And we're here, of course, aren't we? We're worshiping God as a body of Christians. But that's not all that's involved. In fact, I'd like to take you one step further. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, because giving honor to the Lord, to the one who has provided so bountifully for us, is more than just coming together once a week and singing and praying and partaking the Lord's Supper and all of that. It's living a life that God shows us how to live. John talks about one particular situation. 1 John 3, 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? In other words, you got what the other person needs, and yet you're not interested. You don't care about them. How does God's love abide in you? This is not worship. This is not assembling together as a body of God's people. This is daily. We see somebody that has a need. I could help that need. And so honoring God means, let me do what I can. I may not be able to do everything, but I can do something. And so I want to honor the Lord who has provided for me so richly. Let me help others. And then John goes on and says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. In other words, show the Lord you honor him by living the life he teaches us to live. And so Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. I mean, that's kind of a humorous image, but it says a lot. It says, think about how God has provided for us. God has done so much for us. How will I repay that? Will I show him that I really appreciate it? One more passage in Deuteronomy before we finish. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. I told you this principle of becoming prosperous and then the danger of forgetting God is real. And here's another example of that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to read verses 11 through 14. And again, listen to the idea. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Don't forget where you were. You were a slave. God brought you out. So don't forget him by not obeying his commands. Now, notice what he said there about forgetting God. Oh, I remember God. I come together with the church, you know, regularly. I worship him. Remember him by obeying his commands. And that's daily, every day. So it's a good time to ask, am I kicking against God? I've grown fat because of his goodness. Am I kicking against him, though? Forgetting him by not obeying him? And friends, let's not forget where we came from. As Christians, we were slaves, slaves to sin. And that was leading us to eternal destruction. But by the power of Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, we can be delivered from that. Let's not forget how richly we have been blessed. Maybe some this morning have not escaped that bondage yet. You've never obeyed the gospel as it's revealed in the New Testament. And so I ask the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe it enough that you will turn away from sin? Anything that God tells you is sin, okay, I'm going to start working on not doing that again. That's repentance. And will you confess him before others and say, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, and today, because he commanded it, I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. Jesus said that in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And if you do those things, those simple things, you will be delivered from slavery to sin. And if you've done those things and yet you've been entangled again in sin, you've been paying more attention to the world than you have to the Lord, understand how serious the situation is. And if you need to repent and pray for forgiveness as an erring child of God, let's do that. We urge you to come as we stand together and sing.
I must
needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. If a man gets sight of the gates of light, if the way of the cross I miss, the way of the cross leads home.
Please be seated. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing Follow Me in the hymn book. That's number 395. Number 395.
Thank you.
The Lord's Supper is a communion, the body and the blood of Jesus. And he was a willing sacrifice. He left the glories of heaven to come down to earth to live as one of us. And what kind of love must it been to be able to leave a place of heaven, especially knowing the sacrifice that he was going to make. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." God cares for you. And because of this sacrifice, Jesus is the way of everlasting life. In John chapter 6:35, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Later on in that same verse, starting in 53, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat of this flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is the real food, and my blood is the real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, as I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on the bread will live forever." We take of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ's body given to us and Christ's blood, which is the new covenant. Bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you sent your Son to die upon the cross. His body was given to us. He suffered on the cross and died. As we take of this bread, we do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And it's the prayer for the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, died upon the cross. His blood was shed so that we may have everlasting life. And how much greater is his blood? We ask that we drink this fruit of the vine in remembrance of him, and we do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We also take this time to recognize the blessings that God has given us and that we give back to him with kind hearts, with true hearts. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, your grace astounds us to be able to live for you, and through Christ we have everlasting life. We are blessed in so many ways, and we ask that we continue to bless those around us to be able to give to you a portion of what you give to us. We ask that these funds, these things that we give to you, will help others in their strive to be able to know you and to bring them life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Our Holy Father, it's been so good for us to be here this morning to hear Tim proclaim your word to us. And Father, we are stirred as we are reminded of how good you are to us and all of the blessings that you have provided to us. And Father, I pray that we would be like the one in the 10 instead of the 9, that we will always be grateful for our gifts, that we won't forget what you've done, but that we always give you praise, honor, and glory for how much you love us and for all that you've done to us. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I offer the several announcements that I have, Billy Miller has an announcement.
Good morning. My name is Billy Miller, wife Leslie, and we have a 4-year-old daughter, Caroline. And we're just so thankful to be a part of the congregation here at Central, and we appreciate you all so much. I just want to take a quick moment to talk a little bit about the Shining Light Project that maybe you have heard a little bit about the last couple of weeks, and the ministry that we have to serve our community through this project. And it's gonna begin today. And so through this ministry, Sherry and I have been doing this for about 7 years in Carter County with the help of many other people, and we're able to begin that with Washington County. And so through the Washington County Health Department, we're able to identify families that have children that are in need of just basic necessities, basic things. And we are able to come up with some paperwork and different things that we can help them with. So what we have done is gotten these children's name and information. And what we have is packets for each one of them that you will see out in the foyer after we are dismissed this morning. And in these packets, there are information that we are going to be able to do as a congregation to help and support them by shopping for some basic needs. And we're hoping that one or two families can gather together to adopt these children, as there are 25 of them. And so in the packet, what you will find are instructions on the shopping and the list and just some different questions that have come up through the last several years. Sherry's information is on here, not mine, so contact Sherry. No, I'm kidding, I'm on there too. And you can feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions. There's also the list of all the information for clothes for the children, their sizes, different things that they may just need for basic necessities. And there's also a Visa gift card. And this gift card was given through the elders and willingness to help with this ministry for you to see where your own contribution is going to be going towards. So there's a card also in here to help offset some of the prices of these things. And so after the shopping is done, there's going to be a 3-week period of time that you can do the shopping, and we're just going to ask that you return all of these items here to the church building in a black trash bag. You can wrap all of the different items. You can remove the receipts and the different tags that might be on the items, and you can return those on December 3rd. So that's one way that you can get involved in this project. Another opportunity is going to be the week following after December 3rd. On a Saturday, we're going to have a pickup opportunity where these families will be coming to our church building to get their supplies. We would love to have As many of you as feel comfortable here that day to greet these families, to show them around our building, take them down the education wing, and just let them know all the great things that are going on here at Central. And the most important thing that we all can be doing is praying for these families and for this ministry as we begin that today. And if you do have any specific questions or anything that maybe I have left off, you can see Sherry and myself in the back as we put these packets out. And there's tables out here for you, hopefully you and a family, to partner together to adopt a child. And as you pick up one, just please make sure you sign it out so we know who has which packet, which child. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Billy. Isn't it exciting to hear of more and more ministries that we are involved in to show ourselves to the community, to aid the community, and to show the love of Christ? I do have several announcements this morning. On Sunday, last Sunday, the elders proposed Billy Miller as Central's newest deacon. He would be in charge of the soon-to-be-introduced Shining Light Project, which you've just heard about. The elders would like the members to prayerfully consider this and let them know by November 18 of any comments about Billy becoming a deacon. Yet another ministry opportunity. Sharing Thanksgiving bags are ready this week to take and fill up. Please only take the number of bags you are able to fill and return them to the building no later than Sunday, November 19th. Our annual Sharing Thanksgiving distribution will take place on Tuesday, November 21st, starting at 4 p.m. The sign language class will meet today at 4:45. Their new meeting location is downstairs beside the kitchen. See Poppy Steele if you have questions. Upcoming events at Central: Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet today at 3:30 in the Children's Training Room. Retired Men's Breakfast will be Tuesday, November 14th, downstairs at 9 a.m. Please sign up if you plan to attend. Central's Redbirds will have their monthly luncheon at Amigos Mexican Restaurant at 11 a.m. Don't have a day, and I don't know who to ask. But if you're a member of the Redbirds, perhaps Tuesday at 11 a.m. at Amigos Mexican Restaurant. Thank you for helping me out there. And on our prayer list, Ray Markland was admitted to Johnson City Medical Center on Friday with swelling in his leg and foot. Tests are being run, but Ray was doing somewhat better on Saturday. Jim Wolf, father of Teresa Wolf and grandfather of Rachel Gross, is at Johnson City Medical Center undergoing tests for low blood. Jim and his wife Thelma are members of the Mountain View Church of Christ in Bluff City. Chloe Jenkins, who is the granddaughter of Teresa and Donnie Necessary, was at Nyswanger Children's Hospital yesterday to be treated for RSV. Her sister Riley also has it, but not as severely. At last report, Chloe was responding to treatments and was to be discharged to go home. Milo McCormick, nephew of Andrew McCormick, is back in Vanderbilt Hospital for his next round of treatments. Please pray that treatments are successful. Hope you will stay in touch with the Daily Focus to keep up with all of these and make them an active part of your prayer life. I leave you this morning with 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We're dismissed.